just the way it is. I like the difference in fines.
I like what they proposed to.
Yeah, we'll keep the proposed.
It has, Susan has done quite a bit of work on them and has, I think, clarified them considerably from.
Okay, let us continue. Any more on the fine schedule?
No, sir.
All right, Deputy Campaign Treasurer.
This is found on page 19 of the main bill. I'm not sure how I work it.
I mean, we're starting page 35 and going back.
Line, please.
Okay, let's see. Lines 13 through 24. Presently, before a person can accept contributions on behalf of a candidate or accept contributions to give to a candidate, the person has to be registered as a deputy campaign treasurer. There's no limit on the number of deputy campaign treasurers. It's very easy to file a deputy campaign treasurer statement. I'm sure you're all familiar with it. Line 13, beginning at a person does not receive or make a contribution, essentially wipes out the deputy campaign treasurer rule in the statute. It would allow a person, a lobbyist, for example, or someone else who wants to get influence with a candidate to go around, get contributions to give to the candidate in an unlimited amount and give them to the candidate without ever registering as a deputy treasurer. And the public would never know who was raising money for that candidate. And that's exactly why the deputy campaign treasurer provision is supposed to be, or is in the law right now, so the public knows who is raising funds for the candidate. It's not a burdensome.
That's not important. What's important is where the money comes from.
Well, yes and no. I think sometimes if you have a person, the example that has come up in our discussions has always been, say, an influential lobbyist who is able to say to a senator, Senator, I'll go and get you some contributions from friends of mine because we support you. Goes out, gets a whole bunch of checks, comes back to the office, says, Senator, here's a total of $150,000 for your campaign or whatever. The senator, you know, the names are on the checks as to who gave the money, but the senator is going to remember the lobbyist's name. The lobbyist's
we should have the name.
That's why they're required to file it as a deputy campaign treasurer, so the public knows who it is doing this. It isn't a very burdensome requirement, and it has great public
benefit. We debated this. You should have been here from the beginning.
Mr. Gross, I'll just point out two quick things. That we've been over this 53 million times, but the problem is that it covers too much and it doesn't cover enough is what's being proposed. The first thing is that it also covers the situation Dick is talking about, also covers a situation where I ask one person to enclose a check in an envelope with me and mail it to Edna DeVries or Tim Kelly. It also covers that. I would have to be a deputy treasurer. And that goes on all the time, and the fact that you make it illegal isn't going to change it one bit, and you're just going to, you know, have millions of people violating the law, any one of which can be picked out at any time to go after. That's what I mean by selective enforcement. The second thing is that it doesn't cover enough. You know, if you pass this law, I mean, this is the law today, what Dick is talking about. You take Alex Miller or Ben Dawson or somebody. And he wants to raise money for Tim Kelly. All he does is he doesn't personally touch the checks. What he does is he goes and he gets you to give a check and you to give a check and you to give a check and he holds a fundraiser, right? And he gets all these people come to the office and they hand the checks.
To the deputy treasurer.
He still performed the service. You know, he still has done exactly what, you know, Dick is concerned about, which is to, you know, do something for a candidate that the candidate, you know, will benefit from, but he hasn't touched the checks. So therefore, he doesn't have to register as a deputy treasurer. So it doesn't get the kind of conduct he wants, and it also covers a lot of conduct that it shouldn't cover. So our feeling was, you know, it was a law
sort of
being
ignored. Sort of medium ground, and we decided, I think, didn't we? I mean, we discussed this thing for 2 or 3 hours, I can remember.
We're going to leave that in.
Yeah. It just, I don't know which is better or worse, but
I think, is that okay with the committee? Okay, let's go on.
Okay, point number 8, we've already discussed.
Candidate's responsibility.
That is with regard to the due diligence requirement in watching over your campaign finances.
Does that mean that whatever your campaign treasurer does or deputy campaign treasurer, anybody in your campaign that you are as guilty as they are for whatever they've done?
No, it means that if by the exercise of due diligence, you would have prevented it.
I don't think we want to touch that. That's too vague. You couldn't keep track of that for love nor money.
Well, we've already
decided. Yeah, we've already decided that he's like.
Right. How about definition of contribution?
Definition of contribution found on page 39 of your bill. I am going forward this time.
That's
this lines 5 through 10 are, I believe, left over from the original drafts, which took off the limit on contributions completely. It was basically, this allows a person who can provide services, a professional, to contribute an additional $1,000 worth of his or her time to a campaign without reporting. So professionals are, say, you know, accountants, lawyers, political consultants, would be able to give a $2,000 cash contribution plus another $1,000 contribution in services under this exception.
I'm not one of those that believes that a professional should have any kind of limitation on helping a campaign, that there should be a limitation on in-kind donation, like a CPA agreeing to do the report.
Well, that's specifically exempt.
That's excluded.
And that always has been. That's under present law.
How about legal advice?
That's not.
That would be a contribution if it's more than $1,000.
That has been suggested. I think that's in the federal regs, as a matter of fact. I think they exempt lawyers as well as accountants. I'm not sure of that.
If you get an attorney to go over your stuff with you all the time, $1,000, he can do that in a day. The prices they get.
I mean, you can do that at lunch.
Yeah. So I don't
depends
think
on
we
want to.
I don't think we want to change that, or do we?
Well, no, why not?
Well, I think it's something worth discussing a bit, because you're essentially giving one class of people a $3,000 contribution, whereas everyone else would have $2,000.
How about eliminating that section and just simply exempting services by accountants or lawyers? You know, accountants to do the work required.
Lawyers
the act,
to tell you what this means.
To interpret the act and advise people on the legality of the campaign. Does that make sense?
Sorry, I'm late.
Okay.
Let's change that.
Okay.
Anything else on that?
Those are my points.
Fine, thank you. I'd like to take up two more things before we leave. One of them being Senator Fisher's letter, a member of the committee. You have a copy of it. Section 504170E, page 19, lines 8 to 24 in the main bill.
You have the letter from Senator Fisher.
Victor's letter.
Oh, no.
Got it.
Page 19, lines 8 to 24. Doesn't seem to carry out the committee intent. See, remembered we wanted to exclude the courier-type activity from requiring registration as a deputy treasurer.
And haven't we done that?
I think we've done that.
We just discussed that.
Yeah.
Right. Says a person does not receive a contribution if the person solicits a contribution. Now, aside from this, I'm not making logical sense.
I think we've taken care of Victor's.
Have we taken care of that?
Well, let them review it, why don't we?
I think it's a technical problem. Yeah.
Okay. They can come back with this, I think.
And attorneys would be automatically included in that, right? Is that right?
No, the attorneys is on the
so we have taken care of it.
Attorneys are just like everybody else as far as can't, you know, okay. This sort of thing. As far as this.
Okay.
I think we agree with Victor.
Yeah, okay.
We agree with the approach.
What I'd like to do,
right.
What I've got to do here is...
About the penalties, right?
I move that we adopt the proposed amendments to Senate Bill 356 on the penalty section with those changes that we've made.
Ask unanimous consent.
Unanimous consent. The objections hearing none, so ordered. I also would like to take up at this time also the draft bill and adopt the draft bill, the work draft you see in front of you, Senate Bill, no number.
Also,
the regulations are annulled. An act annulling regulations adopted by the Alaska Public Commission's office.
Is it the intention to introduce this bill?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, I probably don't agree with every one of these annulments, but in order to introduce the bill, I move that the committee adopt it. The bill is to be introduced.
Is there any objections? There are none, so ordered. We will then draft this, send this to final draft, and submit it to the chief clerk. Mr. Gross.
Mr. Chairman, we are prepared by tomorrow morning to give you a finalized draft of this bill, incorporating all the amendments. We'll go over these amendments with Mr. Monk and the technical amendments today, and we'll be prepared. I think we'll have a finished bill for you to move on one way or another tomorrow
very
morning
good.
If you want it.
Very good. Thank you. We'd appreciate that. Mr. Monk, thank you very much for your attendance.
Thank you, Senator.
Appreciate it. And your suggestions. Even some of them were a little far out, but what the heck? No big problem. What?
I hope some were helpful.
They were very. Is there anything further to come before the committee? We're adjourned.
We're one morning away from
that's right.
One day.
Now you're hoping to get there, Mr. DeLucia. and Paul Hewlett and Ferguson.